Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into a really fascinating Horizon Europe project. It's called Music 360.
That's right. And it's aiming to tackle, well, a pretty significant market failure in the music world.
But not the one everyone always talks about, like streaming payouts for the big stars.
Exactly. This is different. We're talking about background music royalties, you know, the music playing when you're in a shop or a bar, maybe a restaurant.
Right, the ambient stuff.
Yeah, and that background and live music actually accounts for about 28% of total royalty collections. That's a huge chunk, especially for artists who aren't superstars.
So for a lot of musicians, that's actually their main source of income, potentially.
For the long tail, absolutely.
Okay, so here's where it gets tricky, right?
Yeah.
The problem.
The problem is how those royalties are currently distributed. It's often based on like reference data.
What kind of reference data?
Things like playlists from top national radio stations. So basically guesswork. It doesn't matter what the shop is actually playing.
Wait, really? So a small cafe playing niche jazz might trigger royalties based on, I don't know, pop radio hits?
That's pretty much how it often works. It's deeply inefficient and unfair. Studies have shown that maybe up to 63% of the unique tracks played in these places generate zero royalties for that specific use.
63%.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a massive gap.
It really is. Think of all the creators not getting paid for their work being used.
So, Music360 wants to fix this. What's their mission exactly?
Their goal is to generate reliable, really fine-grained data on what background music is actually being used, and also, crucially, to measure both the economic and the societal value of that music.
Leading to a fairer system, presumably.
A fairer, more transparent distribution system. That's the aim, moving away from assumptions towards actual data.
Okay, so how are they collecting this data? I mean, getting accurate info from a noisy cafe or a busy shop sounds challenging.
Yeah, that's where their main strategy comes in. They use something called living labs.
Living labs, what are those?
Think of them as real-world testing grounds. User-centered innovation ecosystems is the official term. Basically, they set up in actual venues.
Okay, and what do they do in these venues?
They install these audio recognition devices. These have music fingerprinting technology built in.
Ah, fingerprinting. So it can identify songs even with background noise.
Exactly. It's pretty robust. It creates a unique digital signature for a track, so it can ID it even if the quality's poor or there's lots of chatter.
Clever. And then what? Just knowing the track isn't the whole picture, is it?
No, you're right. They enrich that data. They add info like genre, language, even BPM beats per minute.
BPM, why track the tempo?
Well, think about it. Music tempo can influence customer behavior, right?
Okay.
Faster music might mean quicker turnover in a fast food place. Slower music might make people linger longer in a nice restaurant.
Ah, so they're trying to link the music directly to economic outcomes or maybe emotional responses.
Precisely. Linking positive emotions maybe to higher sales or people deciding to stay longer. It's about measuring value beyond just was the song played.
Interesting. Okay, so tell me about these different labs. You mentioned there are several.
Yeah, five national labs and one cross-European one. They're looking at different things. For instance, the Finnish, Dutch, and Irish labs are really digging into that behavior link staff emotions, customer feelings, and how it connects to sales.
Okay, so that's the economic and emotional side.
Yeah.
What about the other labs?
Well, the Spanish lab takes a different angle. It focuses more on non-monetary value.
Like what?
They're studying things like the therapeutic benefits of live music or the societal impact of traditional music, like in a local festival, the Christian and Moors Festival is one example. It's about cultural value, community cohesion.
Got it. So less about sales, more about society and culture.
Exactly. And then there's the Portuguese lab. They're tackling the distribution problem head on.
How so?
Their goal is to measure the usage intensity, like how much is music being played, when and compare the current flawed distribution model based on radio TV proxies to what their devices actually
Then
measure.
the outcome of that.
They want to build a sort of heat map. This would show rights holders where their music is actually getting played and valued, helping them develop, you know, data-driven strategies to maybe increase their revenue fairly.
So pulling this all together, this approach using living labs across different countries, involving different kinds of stakeholders, industry, academics, the public. That seems quite new, doesn't it?
It really is. That's the quadruple helix idea they talk about. It's novel because it's building a whole new framework to actually quantify music's value in these contexts. It brings the impact down from just high-level industry talk to day-to-day distribution for individual artists.
So for you listening, what this really means is Music 360 is trying to build a more resilient and a diverse European music scene, basically promoting social justice through accurate data, giving credit where it's actually due.
Yeah, it's about fairness, ultimately.
Okay, final thought then, something provocative for our listeners.
Well, given that the project is collecting all this detailed data, including things like gender, age, ethnicity, alongside the music data, what potential non-monetary benefits, maybe societal or even health benefits of music, might Music 360 uncover? Things we haven't even really thought about measuring systematically before. Beyond just sales or royalties, what else is music doing in these spaces?